Well, tonight we have got something very special. I'm really looking forward to this because I know what it is. We have got three of our amazing congregational members who are going to be coming up in just a moment, and we are going to be blessed by three mini sermons tonight, which is going to be amazing. We've got Charles Attard, Hattie Issa, and Judy McKillop coming to share tonight. So can we prepare our hearts right now to receive the word and put our hands together and welcome Charles as he comes and preaches the word tonight.
Thank you, Jacob. Thank you so much. It's age before beauty. Could we have Hebrews chapter 12, please, 1 and 2? Up on the screen. Thank you. Hallelujah. I love it. It's, you know, it's the word that excites you. That's the word that will bless you. Did you know that? Praise God. You know, I love the thought of being on a relay team. You know, not only with Hattie and Judy tonight, but also being in a relay team that we all belong to. Is that right? Yeah. You know, the gospel message has been passed down from generation to generation. You know, and here we are today, and it's up to this generation to carry on the good work that has been started. Of course, we're under no pressure at all, are we? You know, I love being part of this relay team. I wonder if we could read the scripture together, please. Let's read it out loud. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Isn't that wonderful? The race that is marked out for us. You know, it's marked out by God Himself. Is that right? It's on His program, praise God. It's His program, we fit in. And secondly, look at another thing there. It's fixing our eyes on Jesus. Yeah? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Say, my eyes are fixed on Jesus. He's the ultimate example, is that right? Of how to run the race with patience. Endurance, praise God. That's why we look unto Jesus. Now, you might say, well, I don't think I can do that. I'm afraid to step out on faith, and I'm scared of failing, and besides, I'm not equipped to do all that, you know. Well, I've got good news for you tonight. It isn't your power that's going to carry it out. It's not your ability. It's your availability that will do it. Once you decide you're going to do it, God will back you. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? All you have to do is decide. Amen. It takes your decision to move God on the scene. He's waiting for your decision. I love that. Praise God. Now, God has provided the power. He's provided His name, He's provided the kingdom of God, and even made you partaker of that kingdom. Hallelujah. It's good news. Let me show you a wonderful talent God has put inside of you. Could we turn to Romans 5, please? Let's read this together now. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? God's love. What a wonderful talent. God's love has been poured out into our hearts. That is a wonderful, wonderful talent. You see, folks, God has put that talent in your heart so you can take it to a lost and needy world. Hallelujah. I love this brother here with his compassion journey. You know, taking it to all the world. Glory be to God. That's just wonderful, isn't it? You know, love is so powerful. It changes things. Love fixes things. Glory be to God. It never fails. It never gives up. You know, it never runs out. Love, as a matter of fact, is the very nature of God. So when you take the love of God out into the world, you're taking the very nature of God into people's lives. I wonder if we could turn to Luke 4 and verse 18 now, please, on the screen. I love the scripture. I live by the scripture. I find it tremendously exciting. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." Say, "I am anointed." And that's the truth. You are as anointed as Jesus himself. Wow. Why? Because it's the same Spirit of God that anointed him now anoints you with the same anointing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do what? To proclaim good news. Good news. The gospel of love to the poor. Did you know that when you take the love of God to the poor, they're not poor anymore? Because you're giving them the answer to their poverty. And the love of God is always the answer to meeting people's needs. Hallelujah. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Tell me, what happens to the brokenhearted when you take the love of God to them? What happens? They get healed, it says here. They get healed when you take the love of God to the brokenhearted. What happens in the next one? What happens to the captives? When you take the love of God to the captives, deliverance to the captives. Deliverance takes place when you take the love of God, that talent that God has put in your heart. My friend, what will you do with your talent? What will you do with your talent? I know what I'm doing with my talent. Glory be to God. And recovering of sight to the blind. What happens to the blind when you take the love of God to them? Sight is recovered, the scripture says. Hallelujah. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. What happens to the bruised when you take the love of God to them? They're set at liberty. The love of God changes things. The love of God fixes things. The love of God works to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, or in other words, to preach the year of Jubilee. When you take the love of God into a lost and needy world, the year of Jubilee is operating all the time. You don't have to be waiting 50 years as they did in the Old Testament. The year of Jubilee is every day with you and I, as we take the love of God into a lost and needy world. Glory be to God. I love a relay team. Say, I love the relay team. Because I love the supernatural. That's why I love the relay team. And I leave that with you. Thank you, Jacob.
Bless you, mate. Thank you, Charles. Well, without further ado, Hattie, why don't you come up and bring it home, brother.
Bring it home. I don't know if we're ready. Are we ready? Are we pumped? All right, I am pumped. Firstly, Pastor Rob and the team, thank you for the honor it is to share with you guys. It's so good. It's humbling. And the timing of what I want to share with you is just like, wow, okay, good. I like it. Thank you, God. And firstly, I want to share with what just happened to me on Monday in the office. Something powerful hit me, and it hit me hard. I got drunk, but I got drunk spiritually, church. Hold on, easy. They shall not judge. I got smashed so hard with the power of God that I've never been smashed in any way before. And Judy and the team, Pastor Rob, they were away at the Roddy Howe Brown conference in Perth and just coming back filled and just spontaneously noticing after having lunch on Monday, you know, being offered that in Sandra's room, there was prayer going on. I'm like, prayer, okay. I'm walking down the corridor. I noticed what was going on. They're all giggling and laughing in the presence. I'm like, oh, do I go in again? Nah, I'm good. I'm just going to go back and do my work. I'm fine. I'm just work orientated. I'm like, let them be. And I felt right there was maybe just a fear of going, oh, I don't know if I want to step in. And, you know, and I just thought, no, I'll just ignore it. I'll just let it sit. I'll just shelf it. And then Camille gives me a ring and goes, Camille's like, hey, they're offering some prayer. Judy's asked, would you like to come in for some prayer? I'm like, okay. So went in, didn't know what I was up for. And bang, Judy just started laying hands, Sandra, and I just went down. And can I just say, I felt like God put me in lockdown. My body, my arms, I was shaking, and I felt my Judy took a photo of this. My hands felt like they were disabled. When I say disabled, they were like that, and I couldn't move. And I'm lying down. Now, because this is new to me, instantly I had fear. I thought, oh, what's going on here? I'm lying down in the presence of God, what is going on here? What's going on? And I just couldn't move, and I just thought, you know, Lord, I trust you. I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to fear. I just trust you. And I'm sharing this because afterwards it was so refreshing and powerful in there, wasn't it, guys? That I started questioning what was going on, and I told the team. I felt like, as I said, that lockdown, the power of God just locked me. He like paralyzed me. And I felt like that word, you know, afterwards, I don't know why I did this. I went to Southland afterwards. I had to duck by the Optus shop, and I was just like, okay. But anyways, I just wanted to go to bed. But I was I was so exhausted. I felt like God just took something out of me. And I was just dwelling. As I was walking around Southland, I felt like God was, I looked up the word, I just felt like looking up the definition disabled. I'm like, and it just gave me the word lacking one or more physical powers. And that's what happened in there. I felt like I lost power. And then I looked up the word enable. Because as I'm walking around, I felt like God was telling me, I disabled you so I can enable you. And I was like, what? I just stopped. And I'm like, oh, what do you mean? And so I looked up the word enable, and it says to provide someone with adequate power, means, opportunity, and authority to do something. And I felt like God was saying, I weakened you so I can strengthen you. And I just felt a sense of relief. Long story short, day two, we got another dosage of it, which was amazing. That happened in the lunchroom, praise God. And that was the staff. We just got filled. And I say that referring to 2 Timothy 1 from the King James, verse 7. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. As I was lying down there in the presence, I felt God was speaking to me, going, oh, don't fear again. What is there to be afraid of? Enjoy, embrace prayer. Whenever prayer comes, go for it, drink it. And instantly I just felt fear was going, nah, I didn't want to, I'm okay. You know, you get to the attitude where we think we're okay, we don't need some. I reckon that's a dangerous place to be. And so right there, God gave me a hashtag. He did. And it's a powerful two words. You can hashtag this on social media if you like. I felt like God was saying, you know, next time an opportunity comes up, whether it's prayer, I want you to have an attitude that says, heck yeah, I'm going in. Heck yeah, come on, get behind that. It's an attitude that says, heck yeah, I'm going in. You know, it's like, hey, we're having some prayer. Heck yeah, I'm coming in. All right, right? You'll get it, don't worry, we'll grow on you. And I'm going to link this back quickly to, I don't know how much time I got, but just tell me where to, you know, is linking this back on to the message that God put on my heart a couple of weeks ago, and the timing has been great, is, I'm going to come back to that word, is have you ever been asked the question, do you own your own investment? Like whether it's an investment property of some sort? I'm sure everyone's been asked that question over time. The reason I'm asking that is because I believe when people invest, they invest because of value, legacy, a sense of ownership, and return on investment. Would I be right? And the reason I asked that question is because I felt if you don't own an investment property and you feel, you know, that's something of significance to you, I feel that the house of God should be our first investment. I felt that here, the church should be our real estate. That I believe that when we invest in church, we have a sense of ownership. I hope this is a word for someone. But, you know, it's by investing that we take ownership. We take responsibility of the house. We take responsibility of us being connected, of us. And, you know, it's not just about, when I say investing into the church, I'm not just talking about tithes and offerings. I'm talking about ourselves. Are we investing ourselves? Are we owning this? Are we owning Bayside Church? Are we owning coming here every weekend? You know, just owning it, owning that, you know, we want to tithe, owning worship, having that attitude of, heck yeah, I'm going to tithe. Heck yeah, I'm going to worship. Heck yeah, I'm going to pray for some people. Heck yeah, I'm going to do some fellowship. It's an attitude. It's an attitude. What is your heart? You know, let's, yeah, you can applaud to God. Heck yeah, come on, let's all say it together. Heck yeah. So, you know, let's make church our investment. Let's own this. Next, I'm going to use this now. If anyone asks me, hey, how did you own a property? Do you have an investment? I'll say, yeah, it's in Cheltenham. They say, where? I say, Bayside Church. I'm like, what? You own a church? I'm like, yeah. Heck yeah. Okay, heck yeah. We caught it. I love it. But are you getting what I'm trying to say? Heck yeah. Come on. That's a response. You know? We just need to own it. You know, where's our heart at when we come to church? Here's a question. I'm getting dry throat. What value do we put on coming to church, worshiping Jesus together, tithing, receiving or giving prayer, having fellowship with another, or doing life with one another? What value do we put on coming to church and doing life with each other? Because I believe church is not just something we do once a week. We're family. This is life. I would not be here if I wasn't plugged into church. Thank God for Bayside Church for the growth that God's changed in me and just grown me by just being obedient and available to be used by Him. And I just felt I owned that. Like in terms of humbly, I say that every week and when I came, I was just ready for what God wanted to do and, you know, just had that attitude. Yeah, okay, I'm ready. You can use me. And the other thing is, do we work our lives around church or do we work church around our lives? What takes priority? And that tells you where your ownership is. If you own it, it's yours. You know this is yours. Church is yours. You know, And those, what were they, three or four things I just shared? Four things. The value, legacy, sense of ownership, return on investment. That comes naturally through investing in the house. The value, I cannot explain what value there is here. The spiritual, personal growth, the love and heart that Jesus has, that you develop. I'm talking the legacy, your family, and just coming along with my two older brothers here and just tagging along with them. You know how that just sort of worked. We got, you know, a sense of ownership, as I just covered, and the return on investment. We're talking about eternity here. Our investment's in heaven. Our eternity's with our Maker, you know. And if you're looking for the tangible stuff, that takes time. That is the growth that is in you that people will see in you. And so just lastly is Matthew chapter 6, you know, verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be." Yeah, okay, we talk about, you know, your finances, where your heart is. But I also believe that you know, where you invest yourself, you know, where your heart is just says a lot in your walk with God. You know, are you willing to invest your heart here? And verse 33 from Matthew 6, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well." You know, we've got to learn to have a heart that is just seeking first God. It's coming back to that question, You know, do we work our lives around church or church around our lives? Who are we seeking first? So I'll leave that with you, and I just pray that you guys got encouraged by that. And thanks for listening, y'all.
Awesome job, Hads. Hashtag. Awesome. Now we're going to finish with the little pocket rocket, Judy McKillar. Put your hands together for Judy as she comes.
What an amazing relay team. I like that analogy that you've used. And Pastor Robert, thank you for giving me this opportunity. Now, when there's a job to be done, I'm happy to do the job. I'm a do person. I always say, anything to do with speaking, Bella. Sandra's the person, not me. So for me, this is a big stretch to stand up here and to be talking. But I want to be stretched. I don't want to be comfortable. I want to get out of my comfort zone. So this is by no means comfortable for me. But out of obedience, for what I'm here on earth for, is to do this. So tonight, I want to share with you, and you know, God is amazing how He pieces things together from the one to what Hattie's sharing to what I'm sharing, and we have not compared notes. So, the importance of drinking. The human body. Sorry. The human body can go without food for 3 weeks. But we can only go without water for 3 days. Now, some people have managed to go between 8 to 10 days without water. I enjoy running. So in 2010, my husband and I, we decided, let's do a half marathon. We thought, that's a great thing to do. Let's plan for it. Now, we all know you can't just one day decide, oh, let's run a half a marathon, because that's 21 Ks. So with that comes preparation, training, and lots of discipline. Getting up early, because you're running for quite a few hours. And we had to slowly build that up. Now, there were a few things that I had to learn in preparation, and one of the most important things for me was remaining hydrated. And how do you remain hydrated? Drink. Drink often, drink every day. Before I would run, I would drink. When I was running, I'd look for water fountains, drink. Now, we know that drinking can be messy, especially when you press that button on the water fountain. Sometimes I've worn it all over my clothing, all over my face. So, you know, drinking can be messy. Now, when we become dehydrated, it sneaks up on you. It doesn't just happen. And it's very hard to tell the telltale signs of becoming dehydrated. And when you become dehydrated, it can take you out of the race that you planned, out of the race that you trained for. We know, as a runner, or when you run, you perspire, so you lose a lot of sweat. You can lose up to a half a liter every hour that you run. Now, running in the natural is very similar to running our spiritual race. We are in a journey. It's running a marathon. When you run, you get depleted. We're running a spiritual marathon. We get depleted. So we need to stop regularly. Stop and drink in the presence of God. Our body tells us when we need to drink, at times when we're listening to it. What is our spiritual senses telling us? Is it telling us to drink? Are we so used to running on dry or running on empty that we don't know the difference? What preparations can we put in place to ensure that we hydrate our spiritual body? Drink, drink often, drink every day, drink in the presence of God. Because you know, in 1 Corinthians 9:24, it says, we are all, each and every one of us are in a race. All of us. We are running a marathon until the day we breathe our last breath. Are you thirsty for God's presence? You have to be thirsty for God's presence. He's not going to shout at you. He's not going to say, stop, drink. You have to be thirsty. You have to want it. We need to drink. How do we drink in God? We drink when we spend time in the Word of God. The Word nourishes. The Word fills. The Word saturates us. We get filled with His Holy Spirit when we drink. We drink from the fountain of life, the fountain that never runs dry, the fountain that will give you the measure of water that you are wanting to drink. It is a fountain that is regulated by Him. When you are hungry, He presses that button and He says, give him more, give her more, saturate that person. They are hungry. He sends His Holy Spirit out and He says, do. But He will never, ever force Himself on you. He is such a perfect, perfect gentleman. You know, in Ephesians 4:19, Paul says that we would know. This is His desire for us, that when we drink Him in, we drink Christ in, that we will know the love of the Father that surpasses all knowledge, that we may be filled, filled. Not just topped up, but filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. As Christians, we are. This is what we are. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. When we accepted Christ, that is what we became, ambassadors. And what do ambassadors of a country do? They go out. They spread the news of the country they come from. We are ambassadors of heaven. We have been commissioned by Him to spread the gospel, to spread the good news. Now, what does that do to us when we are spreading the good news? Like a runner, when a runner runs, it leaks. It leaks water. It sweats. It perspires. It's got to replenish. As ambassadors of the kingdom of God, we leak. Whether we like it or not, we leak. Because we are constantly loving on people, we are giving to people, you know, coming alongside someone. Sometimes some people can be pretty draining, you know. They suck you dry. And the only way you can get filled is by drinking. Drink often. Take big mouthful. Stay hydrated. We do not want to be taken out of this race. We've got to run this race till the day we breathe our last breath. In John 7:37 to 38, it says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. When we drink of the living water, we become full. Not to keep it for ourselves. No, we become full because of how and what we need to pour out. If we've got nothing to give, we are dehydrated. You know, at the Samaritan woman that met Jesus at the well, when you drink, you get more than what you bargained for. She went to the well to drink. Unexpectedly, not knowing, there was this gentleman, because she didn't have a very good reputation. So she went where no one else would go, thinking she could sneak in, draw water, and leave. But no, there was this man that said to her, whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never, ever get thirsty again. Ever. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well, a well of water springing up within him for eternal life. Not just a quick fix, eternal life. I want some of that water. If you feel like you are running on empty, if your tank is empty, if you are dehydrated, I encourage you right now, do a stock. Take inventory of how you are feeling right now. Not in the natural, in the spiritual. In the spiritual, are you ready to go? Can you pour out? Do you feel energized or do you feel lethargic? Do you actually spread the good news when you come in contact with people? As Hattie was saying, in Western Australia, we went with our pastors, and I'm so excited to have been given that opportunity to go. I did not realize how thirsty I was, and that is the mistake. We do not realize how thirsty we are. I started drinking, and I got so full. And the more full that I got, the more I wanted to drink. And you know, God says, drink. He filled me to overflowing, not for me to hold on, but so that I can give. And you know, I believe that what we received, now I wouldn't say that I never prayed, I never spread the good news. I did all of that, and I continue to do that. But what was I giving it out of? The last that was in me? I'd rather want to give out of the overflow, not just what's in me. It is the overflow of what's in me. That's what I want to be ministering out of. You know, I was filled to overflowing there, but I need to establish discipline and discipline to drink every day, often. Not wait to go to a conference, not wait for someone to lay hands on us, but to drink and to drink often. Because, you know, God's desire is to do us good. He wants to see us running, energetic, thriving, not Christians dragging our feet along and, oh, you got nothing to give, so God bless you. Sure, yes. No, you know what? God's got a good plan for you. He's got everything covered. Trust him. So we can speak out of the overflow, out of the abundance. So I'd encourage you, do not wait until you are dehydrated to drink. Drink, drink often. Because you know what? You can drink of what the world offers. And yeah, it's okay. A good drop of red is good, but nothing, absolutely nothing compared to drinking in the Spirit of Christ, because he gives it freely. Freely give, freely receive.